All right. So today on the NFNLP forum, usually I have Monica, Perlin, Anthony. Hey, what's going on? So I had a couple questions that I'll answer. If anybody else has, you could. I'll see if I can read it from here. Shoot the question over. If you have a comment as I'm doing it, I have a couple of marketing questions. And then a couple of therapeutic questions. And again, as in the NFNLP forum grows, I'm open for other people to give feedback and ideas and things like that, whether it's for marketing or whether it's for the therapeutic aspect. If somebody asks a therapeutic question, I can give my answer the way I would look at the problem or a solution. Doesn't necessarily mean that's the only solution. And other people may have different viewpoints. That'll be fine. I'm working on, so I can do the Facebook Live and split the screen and record it. I'm working on doing that, a little behind, doing it through Zoom and then doing it to Facebook Live. The first question was on marketing, which is, you know, that what do you do to stay abreast of all the marketing things? Well, first of all, you have to look out there and see what's working. You know, I know I've talked to Anthony Risk about this, and Monica and I have talked about it, and a few others, Scott and Paul, a few other people and I, you know, and some of the other people in the field, whether it's Jace Lynette or Dan Kandel or Richard Nungard, you know, because the field is changing rapidly, as we all know. You know, what used to work doesn't work anymore. In fact, last night I was talking to somebody, they're having to go change their career because for 25, 30 years, they ran an ad agency for car dealerships where they sent out like direct mailings. And of course that business is pretty much dead, you know? And so he's thinking about what is he gonna do next and stuff like that. So it's not just us that experience, because here we are sitting on the internet, whether it's Facebook Live or whether it's here on my Zoom. And again, the people on Facebook Live, you can't see the people on Zoom. So the people on Zoom get a little bit extra. Once I finish the Facebook Live, I stay on Zoom for a few minutes. So marketing, staying abreast of marketing. First of all, you have to realize what the trends are, you know, and follow the trends, whether it's, Instagram, Twitter, of course, Facebook Live, and all this other stuff, because everything keeps changing. I yesterday was doing something and talked about how I'm having to rescope one part of what I was doing with the addiction stuff, because Facebook Live changed how you can advertise certain things on Facebook. They're going to a third-party verification service before you can run an ad on Facebook, especially for like addictions. There's a company, I don't have the name offhand, but it started, they approved like pharmacies. It's basically, I think, and that sounds conspiratorial, but it's a way for the big people to really control it, because it's like $1,500 to apply, and that doesn't get you in. Then it's $1,500 once you get it. Then you can get thrown out at any time, so they won't run your ads. And the way I read the process of the few hundred people that have applied, only like 30 have made it so far, at least last time I checked. And of course, it's the huge treatment centers, and could be a way to control the advertising. And they'll sell it as the idea of safety for the public, because there were some horrible treatment centers. But but what they do, you know, they're going to drive out small people. And of course, I've got a dispute in with, I'm not a treatment center. I do self-paced coaching. Why would I have to apply for the same thing that people that are collecting insurance and treatment? So we'll see where that goes. But it's, you can't, you know, it's like the old saying, you can't fight City Hall. So I'm going to retool and maybe do some different things. So you got to stay abreast of it and realize that it changes, and it changes quick. You know, as much as I said that, and then I tried to do boost a post in Facebook, which is not an ad, it's just boosting your post. They had no problem with boosting a post for an addiction process. So I don't know, you know, and don't forget, they're changing quickly, and you know, and again, the great curse of the internet is if you actually get a hold of somebody and ask a question, if you ask now, you'll get one question. If you call back in 2 hours and ask, like talking to the IRS in the States, you'll get a totally different answer, you know? So you just got to stay abreast of it. The other thing with marketing I've been reading, especially in the States and probably in other parts of Europe, I don't know about the rest of the world, but they really talked about the UK, the United States, and Europe, Western Europe, that in your general Facebook, if you're going to use it also for marketing, like I do and a lot of you do, you know, whether it's, you know, Alania Meisner from, you know, Lebanon, a lot of us use it. Beryl Komar, we use it, you know, a lot of us all over the world. But if you're going to do that, and this one, you almost have to bite your tongue. Do not post anything political. You can have your own political viewpoints, but what does that matter if you're trying to get clients, if you're trying to build your business, if you're trying to build your brand, right? Because we'll use the States, or you probably do it in the UK too, same thing. No matter what you post, if you're right or left is irrelevant. 30% are going to like you, but it doesn't mean they're ever going to become your client or your customer. 30% are instantly going to hate you, but they will never do business with you, right? And that's 60%. So there's 40% that might just get upset because they're sick of the politics all over the world, you know, the fractionalization of politics. So it was strongly suggested by these people that do, integrative marketing with the internet. So you're using Facebook, Twitter, Instagram and your email campaigns and everything else. But again, you don't know where someone's going to come across you. If they see you on Facebook and you're on a rant, you know, with an anti-government conspiracy or a pro-government conspiracy, whatever it is, excuse me, I'm dehydrated, I was out with the horses today. And so you just got to remember that, you know, and of course, in this day and age, you can get an alternate Facebook page if you're going to do that. But, you know, I kind of just, like a lot of us, I got Facebook in 2008, somewhere in there. And so it just kind of morphed. I didn't create a specialty page, you know, things like that. So, and I have strong political viewpoints, but it's not important in my marketing, in my branding, anything like that. And I do know, in every aspect, every time I've let my personal beliefs get involved, it's when I have less efficacy with a client. So that's, but on the marketing. So stay abreast of this, of what's going on, you know, kind of track the ads in Facebook, you know, and on Instagram. You see what ads pop up, because if you see them repeatedly, they must be doing something right. You know, I'm fascinated lately with Miss Erica Flynn. You know, she's a great woman, good hypnotist, good hypnosis trainer. And she does a lot with Facebook advertising. I see her ads pop up everywhere. So whatever however she's put her ads together, it's working. So you could kind of see what's working and model it. You know, and again, all this has to do with your branding, things like that. The other thing when it comes to marketing, the current thought, from what I was researching, if the person asked the question, the current thought is to be real and to be human, right? In other words, you don't have to be totally scripted all the time, and everything's not totally scripted. And you see all the people doing Facebook Lives, whether it's Dan Kandel or Tom Nicoli or Richard Nungard, all these people that do a lot. What's his name? I forgot his name. But it's kind of just like this. It's unscripted. You just talk, you know, in your, in whatever environment. But again, you can begin to brand yourself. You know, I was at HypnoThoughts and my friend Tom Nicoli was doing a seminar on Facebook Live. And he goes, you know, start thinking about how you want to brand yourself. And I branded myself inadvertently with the horses because I started doing Facebook Live out at the barn with the horses. I actually started last year where I was just, and I put up a challenge is, can you post something on Facebook every day for like a month? So I was doing it and I found the easiest time to do it was out at the barn. So I'd just sit there and just do my little Facebook Live like this. And the horse would be behind me and it just kind of caught on. Now I do it from the pasture, wherever I have to be. and between the barn and the blue wall, as Tom Mercola says, you know. And then you can kind of think about that, right? Because people will anchor it, those of us in NLP and hypnosis know, you know, if you do it over and over, it gets anchored in people's minds. You know, Dan Kandel does his coffee walk or whatever he calls it, where he's walking to the coffee shop. But whatever it is, just be consistent. You know, it's the rule of consistency if you do it over and over and over again. So not to say that you can't do a cool Facebook Live if you're at a cool event or a cool place where it looks cool, but according to the internet marketer guy, kind of start branding yourself, you know, at least a few times a week. Do it from whether it's your studio, whether it's your house where it makes it look like a studio, or the barn, or you know, Tom Nicoli with his, where he does it in his where he plays guitar, wherever it happens to be. So begin to brand yourself. And again, another question was about branding yourself. How do you brand yourself? Well, in that one, don't necessarily hide your weirdness, you know, show your quirks, because it lets other people have their quirks, you know, show your humanity, you know, be human, you know, and I think it's important. If you make a mistake, admit it. You know, this morning in that little Facebook Live, I talked about, I had to call and apologize for the way I said something. You know, I kind of snapped, I blew up and overreacted, which I have a tendency to do sometimes. And, you know, and I didn't hide it. I used it as a teaching point for myself and just to talk about it, you know, that I had to hike up my big boy pants and, you know, do what I needed to do. So these kind of things are how you begin to brand yourself, how you do that. And, you know, if you're too scripted, according to this internet marketing guy I was talking to, there's two of them, and they're like, if you're too scripted, you seem too aloof and unattainable, right? And not as real. Now, if you're going to put together a nice promo video, that you might want to be, boom, spot on. But always remember, one of the most successful people, the most successful guy in our world, Tony Robbins, rarely does anything scripted, right? And I heard him talk once. He does that on purpose because it makes him just seem like this is who he is. And it also lets you know how much he knows, you know, because in the middle of one, and it really pops up if you're too scripted and then you ever get interviewed and it deviates from the script, you might get lost, right? Because you don't have your improv wings on. You're not ready to, you know, to zig and zag and do everything that you need to do. So, hey, Lisa. So that's so it was marketing, branding. Where's the other question? On Facebook ads. They asked a question about Facebook ads. I'm not that knowledgeable around it. Lately, I just boost posts. I'm working with some people where we're working on doing Facebook ads. That's very detailed. I'll have to bring somebody on. I have a lady in Lebanon that does a lot of Facebook ads. Maybe I've heard give a talk about it. Or Anthony Risk does a lot of Facebook ads. I might bring him on, have him talk about how to do it, you know? And again, if you have a practice, you can really scope the great thing about Facebook, though. And I do know people have done this. You could target down to like your city, your, you know, with certain interests. So I could do, you know, the Sarasota County, Florida, weight loss, da-da-da-da-da, and it would target people in that thing. But again, you have to stay abreast of the current things that are going on Facebook, and if you're using Twitter and all that, because they're constantly changing the rules and adding levels and doing all this weird stuff. But, you know, I've known people who build a hell of a practice just using low-cost Facebook ads, very targeted to where they are. You know, because I know if you go like those addiction treatment people with the big treatment centers, you know, they're paying $8 or $10 a click, you know. The treatment center I was last involved with, they were paying $500 to $1,000 for a lead, right? A qualified lead. Somebody called in and they found out they had insurance. They checked the insurance. Yes, they got insurance. That's a qualified lead. They were paying between $500 and $1,000 just for the lead. Doesn't necessarily, and you paid that whether you get the client or not, right? course, they charge about $50,000 to $75,000 for the treatment. So it becomes what it is. And so when people hear about some of the what people pay for Facebook ads, you know, $1,000 a month or whatever it is, people get scared. But the great thing about Facebook that I even know is you could start very small and test it and test it. And I could bring someone on to talk about how you, you know, you can even set up split tests. You know, you could get more and more detail. I don't claim to be the expert in that. I just know enough about it that I could probably shoot myself in the foot and burn money. So I rely on experts. I don't even do that much of it, you know, but I'm starting to. So as I reach out, whether it's Anthony or Ms. Meiser, or if I get Robert Plank or Lance Tamashiro, these guys that understand this kind of stuff, if I bring them on, we could talk about it. But again, we could talk about it today and the whole thing may be slightly changed next week, especially with Facebook ads, right? And, you know, even I went to a seminar and listen to Victoria Gallagher talk about still the main goal, even with Facebook ads and all this other stuff, might be to get a client. But if nothing else, it's to capture their email. So you could develop your email list. So you could do email marketing. It still works. Email marketing still works. But that has changed drastically. I heard her talk and some other people talk at another conference about that because, you know, a few years ago, you could just offer a free report, you know, a free downloadable audio file, and you could capture people's email. Doesn't quite work as well as it used to. People have gotten very savvy about what works. And now, of course, you could do that, and you could, you know, might collect 100 names, but according to those two internet guys, 25 of those names are bogus because they probably set up, someone might, and maybe you've done it, I know I have, you have a Hotmail or a Gmail account that you never use except for to sign up for something you want to get for free, like a report. Then you can get to download the report and goes to a junk email file that you can eventually clean out, right? But even if it's 50%, you're still collecting emails. So it's all about collecting the emails. You know, it's like used to be what phone numbers were. So that's a couple marketing questions. There was a couple of technical questions. One was, or not technical, technique-oriented questions. And it led to a Facebook Live I did late last week, which is, how do you know when someone's really ready to make a change? Especially for something like stop smoking or an addiction or things like that. That's a $1 million question because, you know, I've been around the addiction world for over 35 years and helping people make changes over, you know, same amount of time with, you know, the other thing, stop smoking, weight loss. You never quite know what is someone's true driver. When are they really ready? Right? Lately, and I heard someone talk about it, and they summed it up as, when whatever you're doing, whatever the problem is, whether it's eating, overeating, so you've gained weight, whether it's smoking, another addiction, alcohol, drugs, sex, whatever, gambling, whatever it is, maybe another dysfunctional behavior, whatever that behavior is, when it stops working for you, when it stops giving you the benefit it used to give you, whether that benefit is an escape, a temporary relief of pain, like having a few drinks, it shuts your brain off. You're like, oh, I feel good. Or eat those cookies or do this. You get that temporary relief. Once it stops doing that and only does things to you, so makes you feel bad, whether, you know, it's the addiction, whether it's the smoking, whether it's the low self-esteem because you're really trying to lose weight and, you know, you shouldn't be eating whatever it is, then you eat it, you get it, it doesn't make you feel good anymore, it makes you feel like shit because you know you shouldn't be doing it, so then you feel worse, so then you eat more, yada, 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 yada. So when whatever you're doing stops working for you and only starts doing things to you, that's when most people are, at least that's when they're more open to change, because they don't call us as hypnotists or therapists or psychologists. Or they don't walk into a 12-step meeting or a rehab because everything's going freaking great. You know, hey, it's great. No, usually there's some kind of pain going on in their life. You know, in the addiction world, I always say it's one of your four L's. your lover, your liver, the livelihood of the law. So your lover could be your wife, spouse, whatever, family, they've had it. And this could also work for your smoking or for gambling. It's not just alcohol and drugs. It's food. You know, you said you're going to lose weight. What are you doing? You're killing yourself, right? So it could be like a family member, a lover. Your liver, you're having some kind of physical aspect, right? Of course, alcohol and drugs could be liver, jaundice, you know, all this other stuff. With food, it could be diabetes, the obesity-related issues, knees, backs, hips, yeah, right? Smoking, the lung, the COPD, whatever. So it's causing some kind of physical pain. Your livelihood, you know, your bosses don't do this anymore. It's costing you something in your livelihood. I just was talking to somebody that calling me about doing a weight loss program because I'm starting to fire up my weight loss programs again. And they asked about whether it was true or did I think it was true. They were in sales, sales for like financial products, high-end financial products. I said, well, the research says if you're overweight, you're less effective, especially in sales world, right? Because people look at you unconsciously. This is unconscious. They kind of look at you as you're not disciplined because you can't even keep your weight down. How can I trust you with my retirement fund? How can I trust you? I just sold the house. I got a little bit of money. How can I trust that you're going to do the right thing? Could be all subconscious, you know, but the high-end financial guys are height, weight, proportionate, and girls, height, weight, proportionate, right? And we could argue all day whether it's right or wrong. People judge you by how you look, especially first impressions, right? So your lover, your liver, the livelihood, or also, of course, especially for alcohol and drugs, the law. You've run into some kind of trouble. So, you know, one of those reasons is why people decide they want to make a change, right? So that's how I you know, because I usually just ask clients, are you really sick and tired of it? Are you sick and tired of it? I don't care whether, whatever the change is, you know, just worked with someone a few weeks ago on procrastination. And I'm like, sure, I can help you. Well, we start talking. Are you sick of it? Are you tired? Are you sick and tired of just, you know, putting your life on hold because whatever? And they're like, yeah, I need to do this. I need to do that. I said, well, need and want, all that, that's just all bullshit anyway. Are you sick and tired? Do you really want to make a change? And they're like, yeah. Okay. So then we did whatever we did. So there's that. That's what I judge by. Are you really tired of it? Are you willing to do the steps necessary to make that change? You know, and then you could take a note from Milton Erickson, which he used to give people tasks, you know, between sessions. And at least that's the way I heard it and I read, right? He would give you tasks. And a lot of that was to track how compliant you were to what he was telling you to do. So, you know, you wait a few months to get your appointment with Dr. Erickson, you finally get in there and you say how important it is to you. Let's say it's on a Monday, he does the intake, maybe he does whatever he does, his session, and say you come back on Friday and he gives you two things to do and you don't do them. So, you know, you just, and I used to get that in my office. I know some of you have. I've talked to people about that. How, you know, your clients say, this is so important to me, doc. I really want to quit smoking. Oh my God, it's the most important thing to me. Okay, you do a session, say, here's a recording, we used to say cassette or CD, I'm dating myself here, but listen to this, and they come back, hey, it's working okay, but you know, I smoke one or two, yada yada. Did you listen to your recording? No, I didn't have time. So last week you told me this was the most important thing in the world to you. This week you didn't do it. It's why, you know, I clash with some of the hypnotists in the world about treating addiction, especially alcohol and drugs. I tell people you got to go to some 12-step meetings, right? And I don't care if they like the meeting or not. It's one way to measure their compliance. Because I know in most areas, especially in the United States, Canada, the United Kingdom, and Western Europe, there's a lot of meetings if you're in a big city, right? And if it's really that important to you, you'll find a way. So anyway, that's my thing on, are they ready? Maybe give them a compliance test, see if they follow through, you know. And it also, you know, it can, not that you might not take them if they come in and they didn't read what you told them to read or go to a meeting or whatever it was, but now you realize, okay, you're also dealing with some other issues. So there's that. And then again, the last treatment question was about false starts. You know, what do you do with a client that starts, right, and they do a couple sessions from what the question was, and then they quit for a while, and then they call you back, and they're constantly in the restart mode, right? That's an interesting question. That's a great question. I used to get it all the time. When I ran my last big clinic, you know, it was $977 for my short weight loss program and, I don't know, $1,577 for the other weight loss program. People come in, they pay, because I didn't take payments. You had to pay for the program, right? Or if the only option was like two payments. But anyway, they pay. And they'd come for one session, maybe two, and then they'd disappear. They wouldn't come back for their follow-up. You know, I might leave one message. I don't chase clients. That's the other thing. I don't chase clients. And then they'd call in a couple months, can I come back? And I'm always like, yeah, sure, you could come back. So then we'd start over. Well, that lets, if it happened more than once, because things, life can get in the way, you know, excuse me, somebody may die, there may be, you know, your kids get sick. I mean, I after doing this with 20,000 clients over the 20-something years of really running the big offices, you hear all kinds of things. I don't want to call them excuses. Sometimes, you know, hey, you know, you got two cars, one breaks down and the other person needs to take it to work. That's a legitimate issue, you know. Or whatever it is, right? But if it happened more than once where they come in and I restart them, I was really very easily going about, hey, we'll just restart you. Hey, Susan, Robbie, Emily, hey, guys. I'd start you over, right? But if it happened the second time, then I'd say, yeah, we could start over, but we got to work at what the hell's going on that you're sabotaging yourself. What is the, you know, what's the major malfunction going on underneath the surface that kicks you out of the program? Usually it's when you start getting results, right? Is it a fear of success? You know, my God, what if I do this, right? What if I do this? If I lose the weight, if I stop smoking, if I, what happens next? It could be that. It could be fear of failure. I don't want to fail. So I won't go through the whole program and fail. I'll just quit now. So I would just, that's one of the few times I might do a classic six-step reframe where you're doing the ideomotor signals, you know, about what's going on in there. Why do you sabotage yourself? You were starting to do well. What's happening, right? So that's my approach, right? If, you know, I would start them over because I know things happen, you know, but also you could preempt this, you know. As I used to hear, you know, an ounce of pre-framing is worth a pound of reframing. So you don't have to reframe. Oh, you've had a relapse, or you've had a slip, or you've slid backwards. That's reframing it, and you say, oh, but we could use it as an advantage if you talk about this at your first session, and where you really say, you know, a lot of people when they get started, they're like half-ass. You know, they don't, and this is how I talk to clients. They're like half-ass, like, I'll try a little bit. You may not want to go all in, because if you go all in and then if it doesn't work, then you're like, oh, you know, you feel bad. So you might, you know, like half-ass it, or do you want to go all in? Do you really want to do this? You know, what kind of person are you? Well, most people will want to say that they'll go all in. Very few people go, nah, I'm kind of a half-ass person. You know, I'll do the absolute minimum, right? So you want to get them committed at the beginning, because then there's all that research that says the more committed you get the person out loud at the beginning, the much more likely they are to follow through. I've read research that says, you know, you have people sign commitment things, right? That they're going to do this, they're going to do that, right? Again, it's about compliance. And again, if you're doing that, if you're having them sign something or write something out, that they're going to, you know, come to each session, do this, what you could really be tracking, and I saw somebody give a talk about this at a psych thing, he's really tracking, do you hesitate before you answer? Even it's a, so are you all in? Yeah. Well, there was something going on. So, yeah, there's some hesitancy there, you know? It doesn't have to take an expert in reading micro expressions on the face. to know whether they're all in or not, right? And so you can keep pushing it, you can keep reframing it. If you're into the sleight of mouth patterns, you can keep doing that until they go, I'm all in, right? And then they're much more committed, right? And then hold them to it, hold them to it. You know, that's the other thing, you know, hold them to the what they agreed to do, right? Back in the day, there was the EST training, Earhart Seminar training. And that's one of the things they were big on was your commitment and follow through to the rules. And they held you to it. And they did it in a group setting. A lot of the stuff they did, I didn't like, but that was pretty cool. You know, that they were holding people to the standard that they agreed to. And again, they didn't say you agree with the rules. They would start the thing with, do you understand the rules? Yes, you understand them. Great. Then, you know, and you agree that you will do your best. Yes. Didn't say you had to agree with the rule, you know, that they were famous for, you know, we're going to take a break. We're going to come back at 11 o'clock. You know, 11 o'clock, we lock the door. If you're not back at 11 o'clock, we, you know, we don't call. We just lock the door at 11:01. And they would do it, right? I thought it was fascinating. I'm like, damn, they're holding people to accountability. And actually, you got it from military training. You know, they don't give you a lot of options if you're going through military training. And they're not nice about it. They call you on your bullshit. And most of us aren't used to being called on our bullshit. And, you know, we won't call ourselves on it. So it gets worse and worse. You know, you could do that. So when you're seeing if they're all in, check for compliance. Check, are they all in? Do they really want to do it? And of course, that's what the prepayment is all about too. It's not just that then you have money, which is a good thing if you're a practitioner, right? So you don't have to worry about, will they show up next week? You could, I always pre-framed it with the client with, you know, I never want to talk money with you again. That's another question somebody asked a while ago. How did I ask for somebody to prepay like six sessions or whatever it was? I had 6 and 12, it's my basic one, you know? And smoking was 3, but you had to prepay for the thing. I didn't take payments. And when the clinic was busy, I wouldn't take payments at all. Of course, when the clinic was slow, I might work around it. And that's, it's a compliance factor. You know, if they're prepaying the $977 for the 6 sessions with 3 follow-up sessions, they're committed, right? And it was in the thing that they signed that you're prepaying. It's like joining a health club. If you quit, you know, if you prepay LA Fitness, they don't give you your money back. You know, they say, nope, the health club's there. If you wanted to come, it's there. And that was about compliance. And I would say, now you're committed, right? This is, you're committing to yourself. You're not committing to me. The money is secondary. And then you could do that little takeaway. The money's secondary. You're committing to you, and you really are. Because you're paying for it, you're going to take it much more serious, right? And then every week, you don't have to make a decision, right? Do I want to do it this week? What if something comes up? It's already done. It's taken care of. We can just get to work, you know? And, you know, again, I preframe as I never want money to get in the way of our relationship. So we're just going to do this. You prepay it, and then it's off the table, and we can keep going. So there's that's how I used to get people to, when I would pre-sell longer programs. So those were the questions, the couple of marketing questions, couple of technical questions. Other people may have other ways to attack some of those, like technique or other things. Feel free to let me know. We'll figure out time. Maybe I'll figure out time to get you on a call, and we'll record it and post it. I don't claim I know very much. I just know the way I would approach it, but you know, hey, there's a lot of ways to approach a lot of these problems. So that's the two things for this week's NFNLP forum. A lot of it on Facebook, some of it here on my Zoom. If you're not on my mailing list, make sure you let me know. If you're, and I can get you on the mailing list so you can get the Zoom information so you can jump in on this one, because we may share a little bit more, you know, on that one. But again, you know, we answer marketing, whatever questions you have, that's what the forum is all about. And we have a lot of experts in our NFNLP world, you know, experts in different aspects of marketing and different aspects of therapeutic applications. You know, we can get different people in to talk about different techniques and tips and all this other stuff. So, you know, I hope to bring those in pretty soon. They may be more on the Zoom side because it's easy for me to set up a Zoom interview. I got to get with Paul Ramsey on how to do the one on Facebook Live so I can do it Facebook Live and Zoom and then record it. Because the Zoom goes into the NFNLP Facebook page. So that's why we're doing this, try to get the word out, because, you know, the more information everyone has, the more we can help people. And okay, I'll send some people. I'm sorry, I'm trying to read two questions. So I'll get that info to people. So hang on the Zoom. I'm going to turn off the Facebook Live. Thank you for coming. It's every Wednesday at noon. Unless I'm out of town, and if I'm out of town, I might have someone else figure out a way to do the Facebook Live, at least part of it, to keep it going, because I do have some trips scheduled. But we can do some fun, have some fun with this stuff, and that's it. And I'll see you all soon. But on Zoom, stick around.
Good.
Cool. All right.